he could put crap up there.
NBC Movie of the Week presents Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Saturday morning, September 9th, the Croc Superstar Hour premieres, starring the Bay City Rollers. Saturday morning's a great place to be, starting September 9th on NBC.
Then on Quincy, a strange murder weapon.
A hot dog?
NBC Movie of the Week continues following these messages.
Come on, Grandpa, it's your birthday. We're taking you to our favorite place for dinner.
To Sambo's.
Deep to left. Yastrzemski will not get it. It's a home run. A three-run home run for Bucky Dent. The Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2.
Her name was Lola. She was a showgirl with yellow.
There is one question, Inspector Callahan.
Why do they call you Dirty Harry?
Tonight, you're in for a real treat. I'm personally going to prepare the dinner for you and the Mayordry.
What do they want from Poppy?
Well, Poppy's a little slumpy.
Fella, you don't start playing ball at your age, you retire.
Hi there, Mitch.
Bill DeVasher, firm security. Mr. Locke and Mr. Lambert were telling me about your little run-in with the FBI. I wonder if we could have a little talk.
When we get where we're going, we'll never be sick, we won't get any older, and we won't ever die.
Girls, I bought a lot of underwear for my boys.
Eat your goddamn oatmeal, or I'm coming to your house and fist f***ing you. Hey, everybody, welcome to Radio Labyrinth. I wasn't talking to you, just in general, if you're not an oatmeal eater. What? Welcome to Radio Labyrinth, the Gen X pop culture podcast that covers any and all things movies, TV, radio, podcasts, books, painting, as long as we like them. I'm your host, Tim Andrews, and you can hear me on the radio sometimes, like every day, at WSB Radio, 9 to noon. And these are the co-hosts of Radio Labyrinth, Jeff Leboff and Stephanie Swain. Say hello.
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 No rap music. No, we don't cover rap music.
Oh, get out of here.
A lot of rap music. We're the rappiest rapper and white people talking show.
I try to get it in there where I can, but, you know, I mean, you guys are somewhat forgiving of, or not forgiving, but somewhat accepting of my tastes.
Well, I like old school. I don't know anything new, but, you know, 80s and 90s stuff I kind of dig, and there's some pop hits from the 2000s that have a hip-hop thing to them I dig. But really like the 80s and 90s stuff. Run DMC, of course. Public Enemy, of course. NWA, can't say who their name, but you know.
Who doesn't like that?
Northwest Airlines.
Imagine a lot of people. The police probably don't like NWA all that much.
I would say that is not true. I would say there are probably many cops that used to listen to NWA back in the day.
I'm talking about Sting.
Oh, okay. Anywho. Well, anywho.
Anywho.
What a stodgy way to start it off.
Stodgy? Talking about hip-hop? What's wrong with hip-hop? I love
it. I don't know. I know. I understand. You know, actually, there's a good COVID song out now, a good hip-hop COVID song, which I didn't think was possible. And it's not even corny.
What's it called?
It's called Golden Chrome, and it's by this – I love him. It's called – his name's Currency. He's very underground. They never
– Currency. Is it spelled? Yeah. Is it spelled properly? I bet it isn't.
Well, there – no.
Is the C a cent sign?
There is no C. It's an S and it's a dollar sign. So shut up. But yeah.
So he starts it with an S?
No, it's spelled currency, but instead of the C in the end, you know, where it's C U R E N C Y, it's C U R R E N dollar sign Y.
What's the song about?
It's about, you know, just how you got to be careful who you smoke with now because you might catch the damn COVID. And
roll your own blunt, stupid.
That's well, you can't be passing it around right. Like you would back in the day, and like how he had a couple of partners he just saw like a month ago, and now the virus got them and killed their ass. And
yeah, all right, enough of that.
I would be fine if we started the show completely over again.
No, you just upset that Wilford Brimley was behind you, and he wanted to. You know what I wanted to do? Bend over.
I don't want to get any oatmeal skeeted on my back.
That's what he's oatmeal. That's those like chunks.
What was the show that he was on with Shannon Doherty when she was a little kid?
Oatmeal Skeet. With Shannon Doherty.
It was
what
called,
was that show? I don't know.
A home of our own or a house of our.
Called a home of our own.
A family of our something. He was the grandpa.
Yeah, we don't know. We're almost all middle-aged, except for Steph, because she's young. So we're starting to have, Joe Biden-like tendencies. Can't think of things.
Tell my ankle that. Tell my ankle that it's young. I thought I was all set. It had been a week, and I put my gym shoes on Sunday. I was going to go walk my dogs. Blew it out again.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
You need a brace or something for
it. Yeah, I'm wearing one, but I thought I'd be all good. But I guess this old crusty crap body of mine just isn't recovering like it once did.
Crusty crap. I see my baseball card. You can see it on the screen here. It's a baseball card of Dr. Anthony Fauci. Now, you can't really see it too good, can you? Look, I ordered it from Tops, and it only took about 2 weeks to get here, a week and a half. How about that, huh?
He just threw that pitch out like 3 days ago.
Well, whenever it was, Tops has a thing on their website called Tops Now, and every day they make baseball cards from the previous night's games, and they send them out to people. You got to pay $9.99. The crazy thing about this fucking card is it was the highest-selling Tops Now card in Tops Now history. And I think there are over 55,000 printed and sent out. People were speculative on eBay, selling them up to $200. You can still find it, but the disparity is crazy. You can find one, buy it now for $12 on eBay, and then right below it, there's another one for $150. So which one are you going to buy? You know?
Well, I'm sure that's going to be a collector's item when people look back on this year of gold.
This is my 2020 memorabilia right here. The only thing they should have done is, you know, that sometimes Topps baseball card company, they put, you know, like game used shirt, or they'll take a bat that was used in batting practice and slice it up into 10,000 pieces and it's somehow a collectible. They insert it in the card. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but they should have put a mask in this, right? The mask that he wore and then took off when he was in the stands.
Everybody can get COVID from the mask.
Well, you know, they would whatever to it.
Fauci ain't got COVID.
He did?
I said Fauci don't got the COVID.
Right, so.
Well, you don't know who was breathing on that mask.
Wasn't me, because I took it off, because I wanted to drink a beer and eat popcorn like a normal guy. You guys watch baseball at all? I'm sure you don't, do you?
No.
I watched a couple of games just to watch the Yankees.
Watched a little basketball with the fake crowd and fake crowd noise.
See, I can't get into basketball.
The bubble.
Not going to watch it. But baseball, it's weird without a crowd there, but it's still baseball, I guess. Hey, Radio Labyrinth fans, if you are a listener to the show, please share it with your friends and enemies, especially if you hate somebody. But you might, you know, bridge that gap, get back together, start talking about things again. Share it with us, with them, and each other, like bread, Sunday dinner. And you can follow us on Patreon at @radio_labyrinth. We're on Facebook. Just type in Radio Labyrinth. We have a main Facebook page, and we also have the Radio Shack, which is run by our YouTube producer and good friend, Dustin Lawler. And we're on Instagram. I believe that's just at Radio Labyrinth, right?
I don't know. Is it? I don't know what the handles are.
I'm going to go with that. And then you can go to our YouTube. Just go to YouTube, type in Radio Labyrinth. All of our shows now are on there. Dustin is doing a great job of putting cool things inside of each and every show, and links and stuff, and he's doing a really good job on the artwork. And I love it. I really do. I never thought I would like us being on YouTube, but there you go.
Well, now it looks cool. So
yeah. Just just lazy me not wanting to figure out how to do anything.
Me either. Yeah.
Put it up. But thank you to Dustin. We really appreciate that. Our show is brought to you each and every week by not only Radio Labyrinth producers, but two clients that we have. Clients, let's call them friends. Atlanta Pizza Nero, who are open for dine-in services right now. And you can go out to Conyers and sit down and order yourself a pizza, a gyro, a salad, if that's your thing. They provide takeout and curbside service for people who prefer it. You don't have to pay ahead of time. Just go to AtlantaPizzaGyro.com, order online for pickup or delivery. And remember, they thank each and every one of you who have been supportive through these tough times for the restaurant industry. And believe me, they're not anywhere near over. If you have been to Atlanta Pizza and Gyro, please leave them a positive review on Google. If you didn't enjoy your experience, well, keep it to yourself.
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, what do you mean? Why wouldn't you? I'm just saying that if you didn't like it.
Why wouldn't you enjoy yourself? Everything's delicious
there. Maybe you had a bad day and you're blaming it on the place, and then you go to the thing and you had a bad time, but it was really your fault. Keep it to yourself. No one cares. And let's not forget our friend Brett Perkins and his business, LDI Repro Printing of Athens. They have all your construction printing needs, commercial or residential. They are located in Athens, Georgia, not Athens, Greece, since 2005. With a fast turnaround and affordable prices, call 706-316-9366 or email them at athens@ldiline.com.
I wonder if they could print me a giant yellow Wilford Brimley poster.
Which, what would you got behind me? Would.
They got them big prompts.
I was trying to practice him all week long. I couldn't nail it.
So I just kind of do this, and I guess it's approximate. It's enough.
That's a little J.K. Simmons-ish.
A little J.K. Simmons. Hey, fish, bend over.
A lot of bending over on today's show. Hello?
That damn Spider-Man! What'd they send us, 40-year-old, you guys should be retiring.
I want to watch The Natural again. I mean, we might as well talk about Wilford Brimley and people who croaked before we do the full news. Wilford Brimley, man, he was one of those guys that throughout the 80s and most of the 90s, I suppose, till he got really old, he always had that really good role. In any film he was in where he was playing a supporting character, he took over the film, at least in my opinion. And,
The Thing.
Oh, God, The Thing. Yeah, wow.
That's my favorite role of his.
Forgot about that. Yeah, remind
That's
me.
That's what this picture's from.
Yeah. So did he get killed by The Thing and then turn into The Thing, The Thing and The Thing?
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Remember
they locked him up out in the shed?
Mm-hmm.
Because they thought that he was, and then, all of a sudden there was a big tunnel out of there.
I think the big three.
And then he's in the spaceship.
My big three, Wilford Brimley in his long canon, are The Natural, which is one of my favorite movies, and The Firm. Then Tom
Cruise. Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, Tom Cruise beats the shit out of him. And then what's the other? Of course, Cocoon.
Cocoon, yeah.
That was such a good movie, you know.
Don Ameche.
Yeah, Don Ameche. Hume Cronin. Is that his name? Hume Cronin. He won an Oscar for that movie. Hume Cronin. I think Jessica Tandy as well. And that movie also had Steve Guttenberg and his giant
Goot.
I believe the woman, I can't remember her name, but the woman alien that was there, she was Nova in Planet of the Apes. That's the only other thing I remember seeing her in. I'll call you Nova, since you're the only one that doesn't look terrible. I don't know. It was kind of funny to me that out of all the people that were, you know, couldn't speak and being herded up by the apes, Charlton Heston's character got the hot one. So, well. It's the way things go. Rest in peace, Wilford Brimley, man. What a huge, huge career and what a legacy. A sad loss for sure.
He's how old?
85.
Lost a couple other people. Malik B., founder of The Roots, was 47 years old. That was young. What happened to him?
I don't know. Some sort of a illness, I believe. But yeah, they didn't say exactly, or I hadn't read it yet as to why. But the Roots are pretty amazing. He doesn't get as much credit as he should because he left before they really took off in the 90s. Yeah. So,
I was going to say, I don't never see him when you watch the Roots, like on the TV show.
Right. Yeah. He left, like, I think Phrenology. That's when they really kind of exploded and he was gone before then.
Well, rest in peace, Malik B. Also, film director Alan Parker, 76 years old. He directed films like Bugsy Malone, Evita, The Wall, Mississippi Burning. A lot of good movies in his canon as well. 76 years old. Rest in peace, Alan Parker. Co-worker and a very, very, very nice guy. We won't delve too much into this, but it was a huge loss for where I work, WSB Radio in Atlanta. Herman Cain, 74 years old. And I don't want to talk anything about the circumstances or the things that happened afterwards.
They're going to name that studio after him?
On Twitter? I don't know. I hope so.
They should, WSB, they should name that studio after him.
Herman Cain Studio. Well, no one's in it anyway, but yeah, when we come back. But very, 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 very tough loss. If you knew him and you weren't, submerged in the politics that surround people like radio hosts or politicians like Herman. He's a very nice guy, and he had a very good sense of humor. He was very generous and very warm, and certainly will be missed. If you ever interacted with him and you knew him as a person, then all the political shit just goes out the window, and it's just you and this person who's really smart and funny. So rest in peace, Herman. And last but certainly not least, Rennie Santoni died this week, 81 years old. And you will know him from a lot of things, character actor for years and years and years. But Seinfeld immortalized him with Poppy. I'm going to make you a very special meal. Poppy's a little sloppy.
It's kind of coincidental that the guy who's mostly famous for not washing his hands died this year of the COVID.
Right. Did he die of COVID? I didn't know what he died of.
No, people said he had a long illness. So,
yeah.
That's probably cancer or something.
I first remember him from Dirty Harry when he played Chico Gonzalez. I mean, you couldn't give him a more Hispanic name from back then. Hey, let's just call him a Chico. But he was a good character in that movie. And Dirty Harry from 1971. Then just tons and tons of stuff. He's in Cobra.
He was in a ton of stuff.
Yeah.
Cobra, didn't he wear like a little leather cabbie hat in Cobra?
Probably, yes. Yeah. He's in Private Parts. He was in that group of people, the two or three people that played an NBC executive on various movies and TV shows. He was in Private Parts. In The Late Shift, Dr. Doolittle. These are things from our era. Groundhog Day, the Brady Bunch movie, just everything. And a lot of TV, too.
He was on Barney Miller, wasn't he? I think he did a couple episodes of Barney Miller.
I'll have to look into that. It's possible.
Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid, Brewster's Millions, Bad Boys, the original Bad Boys. You remember that one? The original Bad Boys movie with Sean Penn?
Oh, yeah, when he put the booger in his green beans. I couldn't eat green beans like till I was in my 20s.
Or his smart roommate made that bomb. In the boombox that blew that guy's head off.
Oh yeah,
that was a disturbing movie to watch when I was 12 years old because I was like, oh, I love Sean Penn. Oh yeah, oh, a little rough.
I definitely didn't want to go to juvie after I watched that movie.
Hell no, that scared the shit out of me. That's that and Scared Straight, which they were showing reruns of old Scared Straight episodes recently, and people were complaining that it was homophobic and mean. I'm like, well, look, how do you think it kept people out of jail? Nobody in the 80s wanted to get, So
I still think even in 2020, things are not politically correct at prison.
No, you're just going to have to, why don't you go work on the prisons? If you're going to try to get everybody, to be politically correct and use the right language, go to prison, start there. And so when they get out, when they release 1,000 of them because of COVID, they can share their socialized grace with everybody else.
I say just release everyone who was ever convicted on a marijuana charge tomorrow.
That for sure. Right now, today, delayed.
Yeah. I mean, if that's all it was that they've ever been convicted of, let them out.
Well, I'd like to pardon everybody who's ever been arrested for marijuana. And if you're in jail right now, you're all exonerated. You're all pardoned. Go home. If he did that today, there'd be no hope for anyone else, but he won't. So I guess we got some news. We got the Emmy nominations, and I guess there's a lot of disappointments.
Oh, the snubs. Yeah. I think everybody's tripping out about the fact that Rhea and Bob did not get nominated from Better Call Saul.
To me, that makes it invalid. I'm not going to watch it. I don't care. Those two are so good. She's phenomenal. And the fact that she didn't get a nomination is just ridiculous. It's just stupid.
How do you not even get nominated? That's right. Cool. Steve Carell, I can understand he gets nominated 7 or 8 times or whatever and never wins. That's fine. He got the nominations. They recognized him. You know what I mean? But Rhea Seahorn was amazing last season. It's like nobody in the Academy is watching Better Call Saul, and I don't know why they should, because it's one of the best shows on TV.
Well, let's listen. Look, the lead actress in a drama series, which is what she should have been nominated for, Jennifer Aniston for The Morning Show, Olivia Colman for The Crown, Jodie Comer for Killing Eve, Laura Linney for Ozark, Sandra Oh for Killing Eve, and Zendaya for Euphoria. So out of all those actresses, you don't think Rhea Seahorn should have been nominated? I certainly do.
Totally.
Absolutely.
And then you look at lead actor in a drama series, Jason Bateman from Ozark, Sterling K. Brown, This Is Us, Steve Carell. That's the one that bothers me the most because, first of all, he isn't in every single episode, and he's not really a lead. I mean, he's a supporting actor in that. Brian Cox for Succession, which I don't watch. I imagine he's phenomenal. Billy Porter from Pose, who will probably win, giving the direction that everything is going. I'm sure that Billy Porter will wear his dress and accept the best actor.
I will stick up for Billy Porter, and I will say that I caught up on all of Pose in over a COVID 3 weeks, mm-hmm. and I really enjoyed it. Yes, is it over the top and very Dynasty, Knots Landing-ish in some areas, but he himself, he's a hell of an actor, and he does convey a lot of really good stuff. He's a great actor. So just saying, I know what you're saying as far as the way things...
What's that show called? He's on Nuts Landing? Oh, no. Jeremy Strong for Succession. Imagine a good... I know Billy Porter's a good actor. He's just so weird. They throw him all over Twitter. Look how brave he is, but he's wearing a dress. Okay, who cares?
Don't you think that's... I just hate it when people... They use somebody else's avant-garde or uniqueness
to push their agenda. Yes.
Exactly.
Right. So, by the way, I'm 5 days into not tweeting garbage like that. So I'm very happy.
I'm so proud of you. Oh, God.
I'm wearing a dress right now.
Well, you always wear a dress.
Yeah, during recordings.
So
some of the other snubs.
Or some of the other things, yeah, if you want to.
Well, you know who would be the worst? Who do you think feels the worst out of everybody? How about Reese Witherspoon, who was on 3 critically acclaimed shows and had big roles on Big Little Lies, mm-hmm. The Morning Show, and Little Fires Everywhere, which was like a breakout hit on Hulu. Doesn't get nominated for shit.
And she was great in The Morning Show. She actually had to act. I mean, Aniston plays a typical Aniston role and on and on and on. But she Reese did a very good job playing like a Southern libertarian type of character who, anyway, we don't have to delve into it, but she was really good.
There's some good news though. Like What We Do in the Shadows getting nominated.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mandalorian getting a bunch of nominations.
Yep.
Yeah. That was pretty cool. And, you know, I, out of the drama series, there's Better Call Saul, The Crown, Handmaid's Tale, Killing Eve, Mandalorian, Ozark, Stranger Things, Succession. Who do you think will win out of those?
Out of the series?
Yeah.
Succession's probably going to keep winning.
Yeah.
Who do you want to win?
They do that, don't they?
If you care about it.
Better Call Saul, probably.
Better Call Saul, The Crown, Handmaid's Tale, Killing Eve, Mandalorian, Ozark, Stranger Things, Succession.
I'm going to go, I would prefer Better Call Saul.
Yeah, like Better Call Saul.
I don't think it's fair to put Mandalorian in this.
Neither do I, because it's a great show, but it's, I guess it is a drama, so maybe it is fair, but it's only a half hour, right? So I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like there's got to be something else that it would fit into, but anyway, yeah, I mean, this is a tough category. I really don't know who exactly would win that. Comedy series, Curb Your Enthusiasm, Dead to Me, which was terrible. It already got canceled. The Good Place.
What do you mean it got canceled?
Oh, they're giving it one more season.
Yeah. Oh, I thought they were. Oh, yeah. Oh, they are.
Did you like the coffee shop?
I didn't like the last season. I thought, yeah. Insecure, The Kaminsky Method, Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, Schitt's Creek, which I was so jacked about. I love Schitt's Creek. We just got into it a couple months ago and blazed through every season. It is so freaking funny. Eugene Levy and his son, Dan. And Catherine O'Hara as Moira. And it's so great. And Chris Elliott, he's fantastic. Anyway, so if you haven't, I can't rave enough. And of course, What We Do in the Shadows.
That's what I want to win. Please, please.
Which we all want that to win. Are you kidding me? And lead actor in a drama series, Jason Bateman. Oh, yeah, you already said all that. And lead actor in a comedy series, Anthony Anderson for Blackish, Don Cheadle, Black Monday. I haven't watched that, Jeff.
Black Monday's pretty good. Season two got cut off because of COVID, but it just came back, so I got to catch up. They ran 4 episodes of season two and then stopped for 2 months.
Well, I definitely want to see that. I know that people were also, I'm not going to go through all of these, but Aaron Paul and Jesse Plemons, they got snubbed for El Camino. Yeah. A lot of people thought they were going to get a nomination for that.
For what was it, a movie? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Plemons, I thought especially, would probably get something out of that. Westworld got snubbed, but I thought, I never even got into it, and I heard it wasn't all that.
No, this last season was bad.
And Watchmen got a bunch of crap, but everybody's kind of wondering why Janet McTeer from Ozark, the creepy drug baroness lawyer bitch, she it's kind of weird that she didn't get nominated for anything. She had a really good turn this season. They had her on there a lot. So anyway, look, it matters anyway, because they don't even know where they're going to have this thing. All they know is it's going to be on ABC in September, and they don't even know how they're doing it. But
they could do it in a half an hour if they had one guy just reading them all.
That's what they should do, is just add this one and that one. If you don't, who cares, really?
Right.
Well, if there's no people there to give long acceptance speeches and shit, if they put it on Zoom or whatever.
Yeah, I think that would be great. Count them
off after 30 seconds.
Don't you think that's what they'll do, is just do it on Zoom?
Yeah, probably, yeah. Oh, speaking of Zoom, let me take a second here. I don't know if you guys saw it or not, but I posted it on
I did on
Patreon. Starting next week, we're going to pick one person every week who is a patron on Patreon, patreon.com/Tim Andrews. Doesn't matter what level you are. We're just going to, you know, pick people who are available. You get to come on 5, 6, 7 minutes, maybe tell us your staff pick, what you're watching, and maybe even ask us a question, any of us. So I think that'll be fun.
Yeah, man. I really look forward to that. I think it'll be that'll be a blast.
You might as well take time to plug our guest for next week too, if you would like, our guests.
Yeah, next week we got Justin Brown and Brandon Collins, and they're from the Medium Popcorn Podcast. That was a staff pick of mine, I don't even know, 2 or 3 years ago. I love their podcast, and they basically just spoil movies. So if you haven't seen the movie and you don't want it spoiled, don't listen to their podcast, because they go through it from beginning to end in their own unique way of doing things. What I enjoy most is when they do new movies is great, but I love it when they do an old movie, because Brandon is more our age. He's like 40s. Yeah. Justin is in his 30s. So a lot of times it'll be an 80s movie that Brandon holds in high, high regard, like we do. And then Justin is seeing it for the first time as a 30-something-year-old, and he just thinks it's complete crap. He sees every flaw in it. And it's not that he's wrong, but, you know, they like to argue about that. So they're very funny guys. They're both actors. They've both been background actors in lots of movies. They have really funny stories, but they're coming on to plug their Zoom movie night.
Ooh.
So their patrons of their show will be able to access. They'll send them a link, and they're all going to watch Mortal Kombat together on August 21st.
How does that work?
Well, we'll talk to them about it when they're the show, and they can... put us on their idea
so we can do it.
Exactly. I mean, I'm going to tell them we're totally going to rip them off. Yeah. I mean, that's a given.
They are the first people in history to get a bunch of their fans together and watch a movie.
Yeah. I mean, really, nobody else has ever done that.
No.
But this is their second movie night.
We'll just project it on that Wilford Brimley background.
And you'll just see the back of my head eating popcorn.
Yeah.
The whole time.
I haven't had popcorn in like a month. I'm addicted. I love popcorn. I haven't had anything. I have no fries, no starch, nothing. I'm jonesing.
You had kale chips, you liar.
I made those. Those are kale chips. That's not junk food.
I love kale chips.
You put barbecue flavoring on it?
I boiled them you put a little bit of olive oil on them and you massage it so the olive oil gets into every leaf. And then you add a little garlic salt, and then this recipe I made called for almond flour. I tried it. It sucked. I'm never going to make it with almond flour again. Fuck you to the people who did. And
put some of this shit on there.
What?
Put some of this shit on there. It's good.
What shit? I can't see. I'm looking.
Hoff. Dirty.
Oh, dust. I do like Hoff sauce dust. How'd you get that?
I bought it.
Nice little jars of that shit in the fridge. What?
Well, you know, Longhorn, they sell that stuff that they sprinkle on their steaks called prairie dust.
Mm-hmm.
And I told my boss that it was called pixie dust. And so she went there. This has been some years ago. And she kept asking the waitress if she could buy some pixie dust. And the waitress was like, what are you talking about?
We don't got cocaine here. We stuck out. Cocaine here. Hey, so other than the Emmys, is there any other news stories you want to do?
Well, I will say, so I guess you can't be going over to Magic City and getting those wings, right?
Why?
Apparently.
They're not doing curbside?
Well, you can go in and have them. You're not supposed to if you're Lou Williams from the LA Clippers and you're just in town for a dead relative. But he did.
Well,
because apparently. It makes sense.
Did he get COVID or did he get in trouble?
Just
in
the lemon pepper wet there, Steph.
I know. I know it's all about the lemon pepper wet. Apparently, they have like about the best wings in the city, is what it seems to be. And it's worth risking your career and your COVID and whatever the hell over to get. So
I've been there for a dry rub.
Oh, that'd be in the champagne room.
No, right there in the seat. There's so much weed smoke in there. No one can see anything. They do. They allow, I don't know if they allow it, but they ignore it. People smoking weed and just having a good time in there. The way things ought to be, you know, you don't need the meddlesome police. Wouldn't it be great if the police, like, that they're contracting everywhere now, you could go into a club and not worry about somebody coming in yelling at you for having a good time. Anyway.
Well, oh, yeah. Just like the comedy clubs in Vancouver. I mean, you can smoke up on stage. People are getting, they're smoking out in the audience.
Nice. Cigarettes or weed?
Weed.
Yeah. If you like a cigarette.
Legal. Canada.
Yeah. Talk about an easy room. You just come out and be like, boo. Everybody starts laughing.
And yeah, no hecklers.
Well, and this might get some heckles, but you know who Dave Franco is, right? James's little brother.
Yeah.
He's kind of coming into his own. He has a directorial debut that just came out, a little horror movie he did with his wife called The Rental over the weekend.
Isn't his wife Alison Brie?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh,
his wife.
Yeah, like you, exactly.
I know her more than I know who he is, but.
Oh, yeah, he's the little guy. He's a little guy. He was in The Disaster Artist, and he was in.
A little man here, you know?
The neighbors.
I'm glad.
Yeah.
And he's married to her. Well, he is going to be starring in the Vanilla Ice biopic.
Sweet.
I know. To the Extreme is what the working title is right now. And he said Rob Van Winkle couldn't be nicer.
I bet he is. I bet he is a nice guy.
And they're going to take the tone. They're not just like going to make fun of him at all because he's working closely with him. They're going to do it more like The Disaster Artist, which was I really love that movie. I think it's so subtly hilarious, and they're going to do it like that.
Well, yeah, I mean, we've had what now? We're at 30 years of mocking this guy. Let's get to the real Vanilla Ice, please.
Yeah, and they're going to show like how he was like a little, I think he was a used car salesman or something before
he's like a contractor or something.
He is now, but I mean, before he became, the Ice Baby, he was selling used cars. So anyway, I think that'll probably be pretty good. And for all of our fans of Luther, I know there's a lot of people out there that are fans of Luther.
Yeah.
At British Stringer Bell. No, he's a cop in this one. The exact opposite. And he did like 5 seasons. What are you doing?
I'll make a movie about Luther. That's what this goes to me. I can't do any quotes from The Wire.
Well, yeah, he's very cockney on Luther.
Oh, yeah, then he's funny, right?
Exactly. Well, there's finally going to be a Luther movie, he's saying. So I think that might be, a lot of people thought he could probably do James Bond, which he easily could have, because, you know, Daniel Craig's not going to be doing it anymore for this next movie. But if he's going to do the Luther movie, maybe just stick with that, because he could probably do his own series of Luther movies.
Well, he doesn't want to. I imagine he doesn't want to get caught up in something like that. I mean, I'm sure he would do it because the payday'd be huge, and he could pull it off. But get your own thing, your own franchise, dude. You're set for life, just like Keanu Reeves.
Well, exactly, and he's British, and he's right. You know what I mean. It's his own thing. So I really hope that comes out and it'll be really good.
Besides, it's England, and they got to piss everybody off and put a woman in there like they did with Doctor Who. That's what they like doing in England with their
character. Who are they gonna have do it? The Dowager from Downton Abbey, is that who's gonna be the next Bond?
How you doing? I'm Jane Bond, right? I was born in here, but my parents are from Jamaica. So look at me. I'm the new Jane Bond, 007, eh? just what Ian Fleming was looking for when he based the character off of his cousin, Christopher Lee, who ended up being a heavy metal singer. And also, he was also in Lord of the Rings, right? Yeah, he also played vampires a lot in Dracula. So there, yeah, anyhow, stop me, please. I'm done.
Well, I don't know, you guys, Kevin Smith was supposed to have done the Green Hornet movie back in the day, but Seth Rogen ended up writing the script and he took it over. But
yeah, it made a horrible movie.
Yeah, it wasn't so good. It really wasn't. But
it was all right.
I don't know about that.
Kevin's actually going to do an animated series of it.
Good.
Which I think, yeah, it should be pretty good.
I would have rather he did that Howard the Duck with Dave Willis, but
same here.
I know. Maybe there's still a chance for that if he sticks around, because he's also developing an anime series for Netflix, kind of centered around He-Man, called Masters of the Universe.
Right.
Cool.
So if he's gonna just kind of like stay in the cartoon world, it's possible him and Dave might hook up.
Will it be as homoerotic as the original He-Man was? I hope so.
One can only hope.
Yeah, you can't leave that out. It's important.
So that is pretty exciting. And
happy belated 50th birthday, like, because I know he listens to every episode.
Oh, yeah. Thanks. Yeah, happy birthday, Kevin. Come on our show, Kevin.
Yeah, we'd love to have you on.
We'd love to have you on. All of the Wheel of Fortune Jeopardy fans, you've been watching reruns for months now. Well, get ready, because they're coming back.
Oh, good.
With social distancing, they're going to make a bigger wheel. It's going to be the biggest wheel that anyone has ever seen.
You're going to have to like put the sanitized shit on your hand and then...
Yeah, you don't want to... Somebody grabs one of those pegs, you're going to have to wipe the pegs down.
I think maybe you're just going to kick it. Like, they'll have like a kickstart, like underneath you just, or, you know, like you stomp your foot.
Yeah, yeah.
And you mash it and it spins around. So they're that and Jeopardy, which I'm scared for Trebek because, yeah, he's got the pancreatic cancer. He's really got to be super, super careful.
He stays far away from the contestants. It's the contestants that have to worry about each other, but maybe they could put up those Final Jeopardy things in between them like they do for Final Jeopardy, but for the whole game.
They guarantee that they're going to have measures in place that will be different, but you can still experience and have the same kind of fun, I guess. I don't think there's...
Up on Jeopardy, get a year's supply of hydroxychloroquine. The San Francisco treat.
Sorry. You're getting a rapid COVID test as soon as you get to the studio. Every contestant has to have a rapid COVID test as soon as they get there.
I had one yesterday. Those are so much fun.
Why did you had a rapid one?
No, I had the nose one.
What, this right, is the
he just got tested.
Yeah, but I have to have another polyp removed on Thursday this week. He put a tattoo on it. I don't know what the fuck. You got to come back and have this done. The thing that you had done 2 months ago, you got to have it done again. I'm like, all right.
They're not putting a rubber band on it and just kind of letting it fall out?
No, it's not. It's not a cheap sex change or
hemorrhoid. No, it's my friend at work. She has hemorrhoids, and they had to rubber band them.
Yeah, no, this is a polyp. It's up in your colon.
They really got to dig it out with something.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I think a fork.
Well, this is what you get for sticking... anyway.
I don't stick things in there anymore.
That's what I'm saying, but there is a... You did for a while.
And I know, but I quit a week ago. I'm doing well. I have no more insertions. That's my New Year's resolution. And then COVID came along. I'm like, how come I stop inserting things? But I got to
wait. Well, it's gonna be okay, Tim, because your fixer upper is coming back. Your man crush.
I saw that little story there.
Your man crush Chip will be gracing your television once more.
Fixer upper with Chip and Joanna Gaines returns to... Well, hey, it's on the Magnolia Network. See, they want their own thing. Greedy.
It's replacing the FYI Network or the whatever.
DIY, do it yourself, or DIY. Yeah, he and his wife, they got their own network, so you'll get to lick all the shiplap you want.
Oh, I love licking shiplap. You know,
I knew.
The only thing about, no, you do. About that guy is he fixed his teeth. You know, I like people when they're on TV, like I have shitty teeth. If you got shitty teeth, just, you know, smile with your shitty teeth. Now you make a little money and he's got these big pearly white chompers. He looks like Mr. Teeth from the Letter People, if you know what that is. No, don't do that. Just leave your teeth normal.
Yeah, he's got those big porcelain veneers.
Yeah.
Keep your Buscemi teeth.
What?
Keep your Buscemi teeth.
Yeah, keep your Jewel teeth. Keep your Tim Andrews teeth. I'm missing a couple. Fuck it, I don't care. It's normal. Like, look, you watch any TV show from the 70s or any modern British TV show, and you'll see that teeth are fucked up. But in America, everybody's got perfect teeth. Oh, God. That's why you can't watch any retro show and believe it. Like, you're watching Deadwood, and everybody's got these perfect veneers. Hi, how are you? My teeth didn't fall out. Yeah.
I don't know. Both of my sisters, you know, obviously my teeth, I could chew a corn cob through a barbed wire fence, but both of my sisters, they have these pristine, they look like Chiclets. They're pristine, white, perfect, straight teeth. And they
both your sisters?
Oh yeah. They go get them, you know, they get them bleached regularly.
Real quick.
Opening up your sisters with Jeff in the room, please.
But yeah, they have perfectly white. It's ridiculous. But my last story, and I know this one is close to your heart, Tim, is looks like Showtime has greenlit a new mafia drama series,
mm-hmm.
and it's involving a collaboration between Terrence Winter from The Sopranos and Nicholas Pelletier from Goodfellas.
Nice. Nick Pelligi.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. So,
however you want to say it.
Will it be The Sopranos? No, but it may have that kind of vibe to it.
Well, Nicholas Pelligi wrote the book Wise Guys, which is the book that inspired the movie Goodfellas. He also helped with the screenplay, but he wrote a couple of books about that Henry Hill character. And one day, this reminds me of a story. I went into this bookstore with some friends of mine in Binghamton, New York. I lived there at the time. And I wanted to find an original release of Wise Guys. And I asked the guy at the counter, and he flipped out. He's one of those book snobs. He goes, "Oh, true crime. Well, listen, oh my goodness. You know, usually people who want true crime will go to Walden Books or B. Dalton, but you came into my store," which the fact that he did that to me, he ended up getting prank called for the next 15 years. So anyway,
book shamed you.
He did. He book shamed me. Fucking jerk.
But that's all I had to say. That I'm done. I'm done with my stories.
Terrence Winter was on a couple episodes ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, on Talking Sopranos with Michael Imperioli and Steve Sciarepa. So check that out if you haven't heard it yet. And thank you, Steph.
You're welcome.
On too.
Dr. Melfi's on this week. I haven't listened yet. Okay, so what we've been doing the last, I don't know, 5, 6, maybe 7 episodes is taking a month out of a year from the past and talking about movies and talking about music and pop culture and the stuff that we were doing during those years. But now we've moved, we're going to kind of take a look back at just snapshots from 1978. So I was 7 years old until November of 1978 when I turned 8. And the funny thing is, my wife was only a couple months old then. Then, not now, it doesn't matter now, but then, yeah. So, anyway, on that note, Jeff, do you want to talk about what you were doing in 1978?
I put that car accident in there when I got hit by a car, but then I remember that it was winter.
Yeah.
So it was probably winter.
I think it was in December, wasn't it?
Yeah, because there was ice on the ground. That's why I cracked my head on the ice.
Well, tell everybody what happened.
I was coming out of seeing Grease.
How old were you?
I would have been 8 or 9. And 78, yeah, I would have been
8 or 9.
Yeah, something like that. Mm-hmm. So I was seeing Grease at the Twain Theater for the 13th time.
Wow.
Yeah. Were you with your parents?
I was with my mom and my brother.
Okay.
And we came out and they ran across the street and they were like, "Come on, come on." And so I ran out after them and then I woke up in the ambulance.
Wow.
So they told you, run into traffic, Jeff, run into traffic.
No, I don't know. I guess I could have made it probably if I had run fast, but I didn't run fast enough. And all I remember is just waking up in the ambulance. I don't remember getting hit by the car or anything.
Yeah, I vaguely remember it. I vaguely remember it because I believe my mother must have told me that you were hit by a car. But there was that certain amount of time when I had moved out of Mansfield, our town where we grew up, and moved to a town a couple miles away called Wellsboro while my mother was getting a house built. Because earlier in 78, than when Jeff got hit by the car, she was in a car accident at this. There was this place where it was a route. What was it? Route 6, and then there was a Route 660, and they split off, and it made like a Y. So there was a drive-in theater right next to it called the Y Drive-In, and you could eat there whenever you like. But it was what they did. They had a snack bar, and it was a drive-in theater, Y Drive-In. But my mom got in a car wreck there, no seatbelt, Ford Pinto, I believe, and she ate the windshield, right? And the guy that hit her was a drunk driver who had kids in the car, and she ended up getting a nice settlement from that. So we moved from a trailer in another town. We were living in a trailer that year, most of the 1978, we lived in a trailer. And then we moved to this town, Wellsboro, and while her house was being built. And then I think in December of 79, we ended up moving back to Mansfield. That's a long story. So anything else, Jeff? I'm sorry. I took over what you were talking about.
No, that's all right. I got hit by a car, fractured my skull. Missed like a couple weeks of school.
Mm-hmm.
But that was winter, so I kind of gloss over it. But
well, that whole go ahead.
I do remember going to see Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
Yeah. Where'd you see that? They didn't play in Mansfield, as far as I know.
Mansfield only had
they did show it. They did show it at the Twain Theater. They showed it at the Twain Theater. Yeah, I remember.
I think we went to the 1-2-3 in Elmira, and that's what I was going to talk to you about. How did fucking Elmira have so many movie theaters?
Well, you got to think about it this way. Okay, the Elmira 1-2-3 was the newest of all the ones. You had the classic one in Elmira Heights, right? Where we saw He-Man.
Right.
Lundgren. That was a great movie. And then I think you had a couple more standalone theaters. I just don't remember where they were.
There was the 1-2-3 that was over by kind of by where your parents lived.
Yeah, that was in downtown Elmira.
Yeah, but it was like over on the west side of Elmira. And then in the middle of Elmira, like where Panosian's was, there was that one theater there.
Yeah.
That's where we saw The Last Unicorn.
Yeah, that was Elmira Heights, right?
No, that's just right in downtown Elmira. And then a couple streets over, past where the head shop was, there was another theater over there where we saw Nightmare on Elm Street.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
this is a great visual depiction of Elmira.
Yeah, but the little shitty of Elmira, New York, had three fucking movie theaters.
Yeah, but my point is, but back then, though, you didn't have everything you have now, so people would go to the movies a lot. I mean, I mean, our town, Mansfield, doesn't have a movie theater now, but it did then. It did in the 70s and a little bit in the 80s, not much. But there was always a line, and it was always full. And these theaters that we're talking about, Steph, a couple of them were classic theaters, right? And you know, built in the day, and they were always full. We'd go see a shit movie like, you know, the Masters of the Universe with Dolph Lundgren. The fucking place was full. And the theater you're talking about with The Last Unicorn, I saw Karate Kid 2 there.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, it's Elmira's not a big city. There's, you know, it's a small city in central, you know, western New York, but, you know, they could handle it. And then the mall came along. They had two theaters at the mall all these years. And then when we were in high school, they built a multiplex, but it was just two originally. The summer of 78, we lived in, like I said, in a trailer. My mom had a trailer, and we lived in, where was it? It was Covington, Pennsylvania. And I watched, my first TV, it was a black and white TV, and it was connected to cable. So I would come home from school and, you know, watch everything every kid watched back then. But I remember seeing news breaks a lot for stories like The Son of Sam and scary shit like that. And then I did make it home from school in time to see Bucky Dent hit that. Jeff, do you remember this? The Yankees and the Red Sox were leading the American League East the entire summer. And then in September, they collapsed and the Yankees caught up to them. They were tied and they had to play a one game playoff to see who would go to the playoffs. Right. And so it was one game thing, and Bucky Dent, not known for hitting home runs, hits one over the Green Monster in left field there. And the Yankees win and go on and beat Kansas City in the playoffs and win the World Series against the Dodgers. But it was cool that I remember where I was. I remember screaming, watching it on black and white TV, and how exciting that was to me. And then all the time, do you remember 94 Rock back then was like a true FM station? It was really freeform still. And the DJs, they were on, they talk like this. And you're listening to 94 Rock, a Robert Fontenot Group station. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And it became a pop station in the 80s, but they would have every Tuesday or Wednesday night, they'd have the newest album cut on 94 Rock. So I remember listening to, they did all four Kiss solo albums, I believe. And I had to put the radio under my pillow because if my mom, you know, heard me up at 10 o'clock on a school night, I'd get in trouble. So, Steph, were you alive then?
I was five.
Oh.
I was five then, actually. I was living in Taylor, Michigan with my grandparents. My mom and I were living with them at the time being. We were in between to we got our own apartment and then did our own thing after that. But my biggest things that happened to me that year, do you remember that crap piece of crap car, the AMC Concorde? Remember that piece of crap?
Yeah.
My mom had that garbage car. And you remember how people used to say, don't lean on the door because you might fall out of the car.
Yes.
And that I did.
Really, I never believed that. I just did it. Like, how's this going to open? But yeah, I get you.
We were on Eureka Road. And
Eureka.
Yeah. And I'm leaning against the car door and I did not have my seatbelt on, such as the times. And it just opened up and I rolled right out into the road.
Bam.
Yeah, there was a truck coming and everything, and I just kept rolling because I wasn't quite a dumpling yet, but I was on my way, and I just kept rolling, and I rolled right into the ditch, and I cut my feet up on some glass. I remember my mom, she stopped her car and put her hazards on and was like, ah, and came and scooped me out of this ditch because I'd rolled into it. So that was fun. And then I saw Grease as well, Jeff. I didn't see it that many times at theater, but it was enough. Me and my aunt, we used to get the record player and we would put it in the front yard at my grandma's house and we would do all the dances and the songs, all the kids in the neighborhood. We'd all be doing this crap out in the front yard. It was such a fun time. You know, the drunks across the street would be sitting in their lawn chairs because they didn't have jobs and they would just watch us dance. And
we used to do that too with all the kids in the neighborhood.
It was after, right. It was a good time, right? Sing the song.
I saw it at a drive-in theater in Wildwood, New Jersey. But the weird thing was, this is whenever, whatever, 78, whatever. We wanted popcorn. They just gave us money and let us walk to the place by ourselves. Could you imagine today somebody letting 2 7-year-olds walk to, the concession stand at a drive-in theater anywhere?
No, but I'll do you one better than that because my grandma, she lived at the end of a cul-de-sac. But it was a cul-de-sac that was surrounded by baseball fields, right?
Yeah.
And they were, you know, all the little league games played there. So we could watch them from my grandma's porch, or you could walk over to the concession stand. And that was like the ultimate is, you know, you get a concession stand right there. You could go buy candy and junk and whatever.
Yeah.
But the caveat being that in order to get to the concession stand, you might run into Crazy Larry. Crazy Larry, who was the neighborhood pedo. That hung out and all the adults and grandparents knew it. And they would just tell you, watch out for Crazy Larry.
Yeah, they would say, watch out for this guy. Watch out for that guy. And then the town like, can't do anything about this creepy molester guy. But just stay away from him.
Well, and also not don't go or we'll go with you.
Right. No,
it's go ahead and go get your Laffy Taffy, but make sure that you don't get touched in your no-no spots.
Don't get your Taffy Laffy. That's what
just watch out for Crazy Larry. So, but my other little highlights that I played in a ditch full of water out in front of my grandparents' house. I was a very ditch oriented child. I like to play. I could play in ditches or fell in them or whatever. So I played in this ditch full of water and my grandpa got so mad at me because he said I was going to get polio, which I don't know if he realized that we were getting vaccinated for polio.
Right. You're going to get the polio. Get out of here. Come in.
And he also got furious with me because I let a dog hump my leg like way too long because I just thought he liked me and he kept.
He didn't know what he was doing.
What is too long? Yes. What's the cutoff for being too long?
It probably went on for minutes, and my grandpa had already yelled out the door once, "Get that dog off your leg!" And I'm like, "He likes me," and he said, "Get him off of there."
He's hugging my leg, Grandpa.
And the last thing is, I got a new bike for my fifth birthday.
Aww.
And yeah, but there was like this gang of ruffians in the neighborhood. They hung out by the train tracks and they were bike thieves. And sure as the world, I did not put it in the garage like my mom told me, and they stole my bike. I had the bike for 2 days and it was stolen.
Oh man.
Did you get in trouble?
Didn't you see Crazy Larry riding around the ballpark?
You want your bike back, kid?
Well, my mom, I remember she and my aunt, we all drove down to the train tracks real slow and we were looking for them over there, just seeing if I could see pieces of it over there. And you just see carcasses of bikes all around the train tracks. They stripped them down, and you see like a random streamer.
Parts.
A random bell. These damn bike thieves. But yeah, that was my 78.
I love that I remember 78. I have memory enough to recall some of the things, not everything, certainly. When we saw Grease at that theater, and this girl, my mom's coworker, whatever, her daughter was my age, so they vacationed together. And this girl, Carrie, and I, we went to the concession stand. On the way back, Sandy was playing on the screen. He was stranded at the drive-in. And a bunch of these kids were sitting on, older kids, of course, were sitting in a picnic bench. And I believe they were probably smoking weed, because it didn't look like cigarettes to me, but they were smoking. And they're like, hey, kid, you want some? And we're like, no. And then we kept walking. And then when he started crying before, he was singing Sandy or something. And I just remember a guy going, I didn't know what that meant then. And it certainly wasn't appropriate then.
Maybe he was asking for another cigarette and he was British.
No. He was pointing at the screen. I just remember these things, you know. I even remember what the interior of the snack place was. Now, don't get all mad at me. I didn't use the word. I'm just saying what he said. He said it. I repeated what he said.
Sure.
I don't have any I don't invest in hate. So please don't cancel me.
Let's go back to the fact that you remember in the movie Grease, and like when we were kids, they had the playground and you would go up there and swing on the swings and all that crap before the movie started. Yeah. And because of the pedos, because of all that crap, they got rid of the playgrounds because there was kids getting snatched and, you know, molested behind the
Crazy Larry band. Ruining it for everybody.
Yeah. I'm sure it was Crazy Larry, because we used to go to the Jolly Roger was the drive-in that we went to.
Jolly Roger and Crazy Larry worked in tandem. They covered all of North.
Don't get Jolly Rogered by Crazy Larry.
Yeah. I'm writing down to watch out for Crazy Larry.
And the Fort George. That was the other really great drive-in that we went to.
We only had one, the Y.
You guys were very pinkies in the air.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, see, in the mountains of Pennsylvania, are you rednecks out in central Michigan or whatever the fuck? Detroit. Oh, yes. We're drinking our Schlitz Light. Maybe occasionally your mom could, drive out west of the Mississippi and pick up some Coors.
Ooh.
The banquet beer. All right.
I remember going to the 123 or to the Y drive-in, but I don't remember seeing anything there. Mm-hmm. I remember going there and falling.
You don't remember anything?
No, I don't remember any movie that I saw there.
I saw 10 there. My mom took me to see 10 when it came out.
Nice.
So
I'll be in the way back. Just don't look back here while the movie's playing.
I wasn't old enough for that to have that kind of effect on me.
Oh, gross. Humping your pillow.
I mean, I did. I knew what was going on. I knew that Bo Derek was naked, and I knew that it meant something that I wasn't supposed to know. I had more of an effect on me finding the penthouse she was in the barbershop next to my grandparents' photo studio. They owned the building, and the guy wasn't open on Saturdays. They shared a bathroom. So I just go in and look at all of his, this is a barbershop in a small town. He had stacks of hustlers and penthouses and Playboys, and kids were in there all the time looking at it. I got some Conan comic books and some Playboys. Don't you look at them. Well, you're too young to be looking at those Playboys. You got to wait till you're about 13. That's the kind of guy he was. Johnny the Barber. Cool dude. All right. Sorry. So, all right. Let's talk about 1978. We'll just kind of bust through all this stuff here. So some major news stories from 1978. See if you remember these. Space Invaders, they launched the craze for video games in stores, computer video games. A lot of people had, by 1978, Pong. I think Atari was even out by 1978, limited games and stuff. But Pong was out, and you could buy it. And it was a little unit that you attached to your TV, and you played that exciting game of Pong. Or you could shoot, you know, the remote control gun at things. But Space Invaders video games in general started popping up in stores. So I would stand there and play it while my grandmother shopped. Usually, I mean, it was a choice for my grandma. It was either I tag along with her while she shops and I beg for everything, or she gives me, you know, $2 worth of quarters and I stand there while she shops and play Space Invaders. So you guys remember playing video games that early in life?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Dairy Treat had Space Invaders.
That's right. Oh, I forgot about that place. Steph, I wish we could all get in a time machine and go to Dairy Treat or Dairy what? Dairy. Yeah, it was on Route 15 out in Covington, right?
Oh, on the way to Covington. It's where the Chinese restaurant was.
That's Dairy Treat. I'm thinking
cast,
of the
cast and crew.
I'm thinking of the Dairy Bar, which was down, you know,
Dairyland.
Dairyland. It was a farm, and they had fresh ice cream and really good food. Anyway,
this is such a preview of the nursing home with you guys. This entire episode.
You're talking about Dairy Queen, Dairy Queen, or the Dairy Bar.
I can only you two assholes in the dining room at the nursing home. No, it was Pudgy's on Main, not Pudgy's on First.
You know, it was the House of Pizza on North Academy.
Dairy Treat was down the street because we lived on East Main Street, and it was down at the end of. The end of Main Street, across from the bowling alley.
Yeah, I know.
And we would walk from my house down there to get ice cream.
Yeah, and the guy who owned it ended up owning McDonald's. He sold that place and then bought the two or three.
But I was McDonald's just franchise. 8 or 9 years old. My brother would have been 6.
Yeah.
And we just walked all the way down to the end of town. Nobody cared. And we played video games and ate ice cream.
My mom got ice cream from Sears. That's because we were poor.
My brother would have chocolate ice cream all over his entire face and in his hair by the time we got back to our house for some reason.
Yeah, our Sears had a Saunders ice cream parlor in it.
Oh, I was kidding. I didn't know Sears had ice cream parlors.
Yeah, the one ours did in Lincoln Park. It had a Saunders ice cream parlor inside of it.
Not even matter. Did you get that?
No.
Lincoln Park. Okay, never mind.
Yeah, okay.
You know, Chester Bennington is John Podesta's son. Anyway, oh, God, I got caught in a conspiracy loop there for a second. Sorry.
Come back to him.
What?
I said come back to him.
Tim's back. Roman Polanski flees to France so he doesn't end up going to jail for banging that kid in the hot tub. Give him a break. His wife was killed. First test tube baby.
What's the statute of limitations on that, by the way?
None. If he comes back to the United States. Well, I think he would go to jail for fleeing, for one thing.
Right, but hasn't it been long enough?
No, he would go to jail and face trial.
I know, that's stupid. Like,
well, don't do that kind of thing, I guess.
Does that apply to Jeff and Tortuga?
Huh?
I said, does that apply to Jeff going back to Tortuga?
Yeah,
or Tortuga or whatever.
No. Roman Polanski
killed by all the drug dealers.
He needs to stay. Yeah, he needs to stay wherever he is. He's going to die probably in the next 5-10 years. Don't come back to the United States, or you're going to spend the rest of your life in jail. What point of that? And you know, you could have thought about that. I know he was grieving, but he cheated on Sharon Tate all the time. He was a scumbag. He liked having sex with young girls, and that's all he liked to do, other than direct and make movies. So, you know, you what do they say nowadays? You fucked around and found out. That's the new way of saying something else. The first test tube baby was born in 1978. I remember that being on the news all the time, thinking that they grew a baby in a tube. But nowadays, it's better known as IVF, and it's so commonplace. But back in 1978, do you remember people were fighting over whether it should even be legal, that there were ethical concerns because it wasn't conceived naturally? Or you know what I mean? I don't know if you remember that, but yeah. That's true. Cult leader Jim Jones took all of his people to Guyana in South Carolina, the People's Temple. And when congressional people went down to investigate, they got killed. And then he murdered all of them. He had them all commit suicide by drinking the magic Kool-Aid. And that's where that comes from. Are you drinking the Kool-Aid? Well, yeah, no. Susan B. Anthony Dollar was released and quickly abandoned or hoarded. My dad, I think, probably used to have like 10,000 of them. But, oh, yeah, found a But they weren't used because they were roughly the same size as a quarter. So, you know, people were like, well,
I remember getting Susan B. Anthony Dollars back instead of quarters and being so psyched.
Really?
Like, yes.
Yeah.
I got a quarter the other day. It was a 2020 quarter that had a bat giving birth to another bat on it.
Yeah, it's the year of the bat. That's why.
And I really, when I saw it, I was like, what the hell is this? Is this some kind of creepy COVID quarter? What is this shit? And I didn't realize it's for some national park.
The Bat Park.
It's already worth $1.50 or something.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
Yeah, I'm not kidding you. I mean, there's really, it's a bat with a baby bat.
$1.50. I know it's a quarter, but I mean, look it up.
Steph's the reason there's that big coin shortage.
Yeah. There's a whole subsection, you guys might not know this, there's a whole subculture of people who collect even modern money that you wouldn't think would be worth anything based on the rarity of the serial numbers. And they go through and they go through the coins and it's crazy shit.
Don't ever clean them. Got to have that original patina.
Oh, that's right. Don't clean a COVID off of your change.
The way they do it with the mint, though, is that they make a certain number of them rare.
Yeah.
So that like one quarter can be worth $10 if you're looking for it.
I'm going to take a picture of this back quarter and I'll send it to you guys.
Yeah.
It really freaked me out too, because I think I had been drinking that night and then I was like, what is happening?
Let's see. A couple more things and then we'll move on to music and stuff. David Berkowitz, the serial killer known as the Son of Sam, who was convicted of murder, ended up going to jail for life because he's in New York. And he 12 months of that shit, an entire year. A couple good things came out of The Son of Sam. Summer of Sam is a very, to me, underrated Spike Lee movie. A lot of great actors in it. And I think he did a fucking great job of capturing the anxiety. A lot of films about serial killers or the shit that's going on around them doesn't capture the anxiety. And he had a couple different tales woven in there. You know, what's his name, the actor's name? He was
Leguizamo?
Yeah. He was fantastic in that film. Mm-hmm. And everyone else as well. Just check it out. If you've never seen it and you're like, oh, I don't like Spike Lee, go watch it because it's a good movie and I very highly recommend it.
He does New York movies like nobody can, just yes, because he's such a, like, he is of, it's like he's born of the concrete there. He is New York.
He was there when that happened, and people don't realize that in the 70s, New York was a fucking dump. Mm. And it, like, if you just watch that show about the mafia on Netflix,
Fear City.
Yeah, New York was a fucking shithole. Constantly on fire, buildings falling down, a mayor who, you know, had to beg money from the federal government. It was crazy. So in 5 years after New York collapses and looks like that again because of de Blasio, you'll be able to relive it. So fantastic. And then there was a series on ESPN that got into something, and I can't remember the name of it, but it was about the Yankees, and it was about the Son of Sam and Jimmy Breslin, I believe. Do you remember what that was called, Jeff? We watched it. Jesus was in it. You know what I'm talking about. Don't mess with the Jesus.
Turturro?
Yeah. Turturro played Billy Martin. Do you remember that?
No.
It's on ESPN. I'll think about it here. Maybe one of you two could look it up while I keep going. But I don't. And then, of course, it was a great year for movies, 1978. Talking about Grease, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, which I was too scared to watch because I was afraid of UFOs. I didn't know what they were. It was scaring me, aliens.
I didn't like piles of mashed potatoes.
Well, no, I mean, that's great. Yeah, that scared you.
When they're trying to get in the house, that was scary. When all the lights are going off and everything. And
Yeah. Definitely. The everything's shaking and the kid. Yeah. No, thanks. I'm out.
Boring. It's a boring movie, I think. I remember seeing it when I was a kid, and the whole burr, 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 I'm like, is this is it? This is what the fuck we've been waiting for this entire time?
Right. It's like
kid with a damn Casio.
Star Wars had aliens in it the whole time, and this one's just some guy going nuts. This means something. And of course, Saturday Night Fever, Grease. It was the summer. It was the year of John Travolta. John Travolta. Yeah. John Travolta. It could be Grease Lightning.
Come on. Go out to the car with me. Go out to the car with me just for a little bit.
Do you see that there's a theory that the whole movie is just a dream and Sandy drowned at the beach and at the end he kills himself and that's how they're going in the car?
Oh, wow. That's people dark.
Weird shit. A lot of weird shit people talk about. So I decided, guys, if we're going to talk about the 70s and we're going to talk about the late 70s, I'm going to do Eddie Money. Now, I know Eddie Money passed away a long time ago, a couple years ago, and it sucks because he was doing a radio show. He's a good guy. You know, I love every Eddie Money, even the 80s shit that sucks. I like that 80s Eddie Money, too. So you guys, you want to hear the top 10 songs?
Yeah.
1978. All right, I'll start with number 10. 2 Tickets to Paradise, and that's me talking about music. Give me some water. I just killed a man at the Mexican border. Cuckoo water. I got pranked by Longmont Motion Castle. I don't need any rocks. I'm Eddie Money. I'm at the Mohegan Sun. I don't need any rocks. Check it out if you never heard it. Number 10, An Everlasting Love by Andy Gibb. Do you guys like Andy Gibb?
Yeah.
He was a, his brothers were the Bee Gees. He was huge.
He was too cool to be a Bee Gee.
Yeah, too good looking. They were all kind of weird looking. They, one of them looked like the Crypt Keeper. Weird. One guy looked like a gay porn star with his beard. But, you know, Andy Gibb was great. He hosted Solid Gold with Dionne Warwick and Marilyn McCoo. And he got to bang Victoria Principal. And then he died. But what a good life.
He did the shadow dancing.
Yeah, he did all that shit. Number nine, Walter Egan, Magnet and Steel. Now, who's Walter Egan, Jeff?
He's not the dude from Steely Dan, right? No,
I don't know. That's why I asked. But he had a hit song called Magnet and Steel. You are the magnet, and I am the steel, baby.
Oh, you are the magnet, and I... Okay, now that you say it.
Yeah,
that.
Okay.
Here's another guy from New York City, Barry Manilow. You can tell in his name that he's Barry and he's a Manilow. And he played the piano. He hung out with Bette Midler and all the underground gay clubs in the early 70s. And then as a good songwriter he was, he made a whole bunch of hit songs. And one of them was called Copacabana, and it was on the radio nonstop in 1978. If you had Barry Manilow live, what an amazing performance. At the Copa. Copacabana.
I remember listening to that on 8-track.
Yeah, oh, God, yeah. They did it. Skip in the middle, like at the fade out, and then start again. Like,
yep.
Like the Meatloaf 8-track. Wow. Coming in at number seven, Pablo Cruz. Love Will Find a Way, man. Love Will Find a Way. What a great band Pablo Cruz was, man. Yeah. Love Will Find a Way. I think. Isn't that how it goes?
Yeah.
Sorry, I can't stop moving around. Someone done you wrong. Great song. Listen, you take some hot chicks, you call yourselves a taste of honey, you get a little disco beat. Boogie, oogie, oogie. What a great song. And every kid laughed because it said boogie. And then it said boogie and boogie, boogie, boogie. But everybody loved it, right? Did you guys love that song?
I still love that song.
Yeah.
Yeah, I still love it too. They play it in the jukebox up here in heaven all the time. It's the biggest jukebox you've ever seen. It's twice as the size of Jupiter, and it has every song ever. Even ones by like crazy people who don't speak English.
All right. You have the Waffle House song on there?
No, unfortunately. But the big, the Waffle House in heaven is weird. They sell pancakes. It's like the Dwarf House sells burgers. You know, the Chick-fil-A Dwarf House, you could get a burger. It was fucked up. All right, number four. Or number five, Foreigner with Hot-Blooded, Check It and See. Yeah, Tim Andrews, the guy that's doing my voice right now, he tried to start a Foreigner fan club, and this girl named Becky Lawson, she wouldn't join because he picked his nose too much. But that's just, you know, that's the way things are.
It still happens to him today.
Nobody sees him do it now. But the thing, you know, the sad thing he misses most about work, you know, you work in the morning and then you drive home on the highway and you get that real big one and you roll it up and throw it out. That was a daily ritual, and now it's gone. Thank you very much, COVID-19. Tim Andrews can't scoop the big ones. The ones that are half dry and half wet. You know, the good ones.
Come on. Come on, Eddie.
What, are you getting hungry? Coming in at number four, the Rolling Stones and Miss You. What a great song. My voice hurts. Sorry, too many boogers. Did you guys like the Rolling Stones, the 70s Rolling Stones? That's my favorite era of Stones. 70s.
Yeah, me too.
Great stuff. Great stuff. Donna Summer. Wow, she was sexy as hell, right, Donna Summer? The last dance, man. It's the last dance tonight, because it's the last chance. I'll be hosting Fridays next month. Hey.
Did they use that song in the Last Dance documentary?
I don't know.
I don't think so. I don't think I remember them playing that one.
They used it in Thank God It's Friday, the best Jeff Goldblum movie ever made in the history of Jeff Goldblum. I don't know. The Fish That Stole Pittsburgh is pretty good, but that's Gabe Kaplan and Meadowlark Lemon. A lot of great classic movies. What are we doing nowadays? So at number two, you got Frankie Valli with the title track to Grease. They took a movie about people in the 50s. Everybody in it looks like the 38. And then the song that opens and closes the film is a disco song. What a one. You couldn't get more 70s than that right there. Right, friends? Frankie Valli. And what a great guy. What a great guy. Four Seasons. He's a great guy, solo artist,
Jersey Boys. He was on The Sopranos, you know, latest seasons. Got killed. Spoiler alert. deaf, I think, in one ear. I think I heard that. Wasn't he deaf in one ear? Frankie Valli couldn't hear out of one ear. And not because his dad beat him up like Brian Wilson. But okay, number one, the number one song by all artists. I think I'm losing the voice. I don't know. The Commodores and Three Times a Lady, immortalized by Eddie Murphy in his impersonation of Buckwheat on Saturday Night Live.
There you go. There's your top 10 songs from 1930.
Nice.
Three times a lady. My favorite one of the Una Panuna Baca. And it's just,
oh, yeah.
No, question marks is Betty Davis size. Did that. Dan and Donna, da-da-da-da-da-da, Betty Day, but died. And that's where they just have question marks. So, yeah, that's, speaking of the Commodores, one of the guys from the Commodores we talked to on the radio last week, he made a big donation to the Carathon.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's a couple of times. I've met him a couple of times. And real nice dude. Anyway, all right, so let's talk about some of the TV shows from 1978, and then we'll do our little playlist. Top shows of 1978, the top 10 shows, starting at number 10. A lot of these are ABC. Shit, I think most of them are. We'll find out. Eight is Enough, ABC show, right?
I can't remember.
Yeah, it was. It was. It was on ABC. So Eight is Enough was a guy. He had eight kids, right, or something. That was the premise of it, starring Dick Van Patten. Dick Van Patten, of course, was ubiquitous in the 70s and 80s, but this was a huge show for Dick Van Patten. Also starred Betty Buckley. Most recently, we saw Betty Buckley playing Preacher's grandma, Jesse's grandma, right, on Preacher.
Oh, yeah.
But she was the woman that married him. He was a widower. His wife died, I guess, at the end of season one or something like that. So she's the stepmother. You had Grant Goodeve as the oldest brother. That guy went nowhere. Lanny O'Grady was on the show. Laura Walters, Susan Richardson. Really, Willie Ames and Adam Rich were the breakout stars of that show. So Willie Ames, you all remember, he did a lot of movies. He did Zapped with Scott Baio. But they were kind of like the dudes that hung out together. And Adam Rich just became tabloid fodder because he had some sort of disease. Wouldn't let him grow. I don't know. The guy who played Grandpa Walton played some homeless dude that he hung out with. That's a two-story arc I remember. But, yeah, so.
You think Adam Rich still had the bowl cut, like, through his entire life?
Yeah, well, he's dead, isn't he?
No, he's alive.
Okay, why do I think these people are dead? All right. Number nine on the top 10 shows of 1978, All in the Family. But I believe by that time, Meathead and Gloria weren't on the show anymore. They had left. He got a job in California. I think he wanted to leave the show. And so they had gone. And by that time, it was just Archie and Edith, and they had adopted
Daniel Brestbois.
Right. What was her name? God, I should know that. I'll think about it. And he had a Puerto Rican maid after Edith died. The pleurisy. Number eight, a show that defines the 70s to me as far as spinoffs go. A show that was really good and the actor totally got fucked over by the network, that would be The Ropers, another ABC show. Spinoff of Three's Company, which was one of the biggest shows of all time, certainly at that time as well. But could you imagine what Three's Company would have been like if The Ropers had never left, Jeff? Because, you know, you love that show. It's one of your favorites.
Yeah, right? they were great. I mean,
yeah.
But they did a great job with getting Furley in there.
Well, see, the reasons. Okay, so just in brief, they offered the spinoff to Norman Fell, and I can't remember the name of the actress who played, Mrs. Roper. But they offered them this spinoff because the Ropers were hugely popular, and Norman Fell said, "I don't want to do that because this show."
But he was on the number one show.
Right, I'm on the number one show. Why would I leave? In all right, I'll do it if it gets canceled. You have to put me back on Three's Company. So they go do the show. It does really well, but they keep moving it around. And when networks do that, they move shit around, shows lose it. Look at Arrested Development. Look at all sorts of things. You know, right. Shows that have done really well that are really good, but they get moved around. Also, Jeffrey Tambor is on that show, The Ropers. Anyhow, it ended up ABC decided to cancel it. But by the time they decided to cancel it, Mr. Roper had been replaced by Mr. Furley, and he became a huge character. Don Knotts was huge. So they didn't want to get rid of him, and they kind of fucked over Norman Fell. They let the show expire. They never officially canceled it, so he was screwed, and they couldn't go back. And that was the end of it. That's
I thought they kept it on for two seasons so they didn't have to keep bring him back on the three company.
Yeah, but they straggled it out so much that it became two seasons. That's how they fucked them out of it. Number seven, MASH, still on the air. Had, five more years? 78, ended in 80, or did it end in 81? When did it end? 81 or 83? I think 83.
83.
Yeah. Still in its prime, still kicking ass. 60 Minutes. Angie. Angie's a show that you don't see in a lot of places. Doris, what's-her-face, was her mother. What's that?
Doris Roberts.
Yeah, Doris Roberts was her mother. Robert Hayes was on that show.
Yep.
Had a hit song as a theme. Played on a lot of radio. We come to each other from the other side of us. Something like that, right? Live for each other, our different world. That's it, right? Long as we can do it, life is going to breeze. Okay, here we go. Ready, Jeff? Let the love flow. Let the something, let the rain flower, something, something, something. See, wasn't that beautiful? All right.
They just sent you both over some more cream of wheat.
Oh, thank you very much.
Just to make sure that you had enough before you went to bed tonight.
Mork and Mindy coming in for a great show. Kids loved it. Adults loved it. It was a fucking funny show.
And it was still really good in 78, too.
Yes, it was. And my favorite character at that time, and pretty much I think other than Mork, my favorite character was that crazy guy.
Exidor.
Mork! Crazy dude.
He was a great actor.
Yeah, that guy was a great actor. And he had that weird hair. Some really interesting stories on that show.
Mirth was my favorite character.
Mork?
Mirth.
Oh, me, don't patronize me. Mirth, of course, played by the great Jonathan Winters, who on Ork, you were born as an old man, and then you regressed into childhood. Didn't Mork end up turning into a kid in the last season?
Remember?
Yeah, but he got to come back.
That's right.
It was very sad, though. Yeah, but he got to come back.
Hey, man. Ooh, me. Ooh. All right. Number three, Happy Days. Mork and Mindy, by the way, a spinoff of Happy Days.
Yep.
Number three, Happy Days, still kicking ass. Number two show of 1978, Three's Company, ABC. Huge show, so fucking good. Still funny today. All the sight gags, all the jokes and setups, still pretty funny. You can watch it and get a chuckle or five or six. And, of course, you had the jiggle factor, which is what got a lot of people to tune into it. It was 1978, so whenever it debuted, was it 76? There was sex and innuendo, and finally the baby boomers were getting sitcoms that appealed to them instead of, you know, like Andy Griffith's show and all right. That. Really good show. And then number one, you have another spinoff of Happy Days, Laverne and Shirley, and a great show in and of itself. But that was the number one show of 1978. So I'm going to backtrack here. So you got Laverne and Shirley, Three's Company, Happy Days, Mork and Mindy, The Ropers, and Eight is Enough. So six of the top 10 shows were on ABC. That's pretty cool.
Wow. Right?
So that's a look. A look back at 1978, back when there weren't any pandemics, back when there wasn't any internet, you didn't fight with people all the time. If you wanted to argue with somebody about their politics, you had to write a letter to the editor. And if you couldn't spell, well, they wouldn't fucking put it in there. But now you can go anywhere you want.
You had to do your doom scrolling in the Encyclopedia Britannica.
Yes, yes. That's what you had to do. All right.
You can head to the VFW Lodge.
Yeah, well, VFW, like,
yeah, you know, it's the John Birch Society is what you need to join. It's the commies and the Jews are trying to take over the United States. And give the commies and the Jews the power. They're going to kick us all out of here.
What about the Shriners? Maybe that would be more of a...
What's that old line from George Carlin? That's why I say, drink up, Shriners, whenever they're in town. I don't even know what a Shriner is. They help people. They do stuff with hospitals. That's why. All right, so our playlist from... this week is going to be updated. I think this is about it for our driving playlist. If we want to come up with a new idea between now and next week, that would be very nice. And Steph, I task you with the next exposure.
Oh, okay. Okay. Can do.
If you don't mind.
Yeah, sure.
I could pick a year without any rap music. No, I'm just kidding.
That's never going to happen.
It's a joke. I know. It's a joke. So my songs are from 1978, and we're going to wrap up the driving playlist. So, of course, we mentioned this song, Copacabana by Barry Manilow. I still like that song. I don't care. You can make fun of me. Two Tickets to Paradise by Eddie Money. I loved Eddie Money, and I was very happy in the 80s when he had some comeback hits. I mean, that guy was cool. I've met him, seen him perform. Just a really cool dude. And then I was a fan of novelty songs. In 1978, I was a fan of Saturday Night Live. My mother would allow me to stay up on Saturday nights and watch it, which was very, very cool at that time, was King Tut. What a great song that was. Great novelty song. I believe it went to number one. If not, it certainly made it into the top 10. But it was a great song, a funny video. He performed it live. You got to see how hairy he was. I never knew how hairy he was. Great song. So that's my three songs for this week's playlist.
I picked Grease Lightning from the Grease soundtrack.
Nice.
The road trip song. And Running with the Devil by Van Halen.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last road trip song of the playlist, Baker Street.
Oh, yeah. The saxophone. The song we used to call and request every single night. Remember that show we would call every night and request Baker Street?
Yep.
Yep.
Which is funny.
Down on Baker Street.
I always thought that was the beginning of that Bob Seger song. Anytime that, and I would always get tricked. I'm like, this is Bob Seger. This is fucking Baker Street.
Yes.
But speaking of Bob Seger, one of my driving around road songs for 78, of course, would be Hollywood Nights by Bob Seger.
You don't got that on this list here.
No, because I changed it because I forgot. I didn't realize you had Miss You in the top 10. And that was one of my jams. So I changed it. But you can put Miss You if you want to. We won't make it too complicated. And my other one is Don't Y'all Think This Outlaw Bit's Done Got Out of Hand.
Hell
by
yeah.
Waylon. It's my favorite style of country music is 70s outlaw country.
Hell yes. I am behind you 100%.
The absolute best because it's the most rockinest country. And they don't give a crap and they're snorting cocaine and shooting people.
Done it that way.
Y'all think that? And then of course the timeless soul classic Fantasy by Earth, Wind and Fire. Just a freaking, when you put this song on, you're in a pool on a float, drinking a pina colada, the breeze is hitting you, or you're in a car driving, it doesn't matter. Either way, it's a sweet, drinking sweet a pina fantasy.
Yes, I know that song.
It's a great song, but anyway, that's my song.
I told you so, you ought to know.
Thank you, guys. All right, listen. I decided between last week and this week that I was being a poo-poo pants about talking about TV shows everybody's watching. I know a lot of people originally and still listen to Radio Labyrinth to get a lot of recommendations for things that they don't really know about. And certainly Jeff and Steph lead in that area. The problem this week is we are running very short on time. So starting next week, okay, we're going to, instead of what we're watching, where I limit it to the one thing, you guys talk about whatever the fuck you want. 10, 15 minutes talking about whatever you want. And if I have a question, I'll ask you or I'll make a joke or anything like that. We'll call it What Tim Isn't Watching because I'm currently more obsessed with YouTube rabbit holes and podcasts. But we really don't have time because we're running up to 90 minutes here. So if you want to just go ahead and do your one thing and your staff pick, I promise next week we'll expand it if you don't mind. Is that cool with you guys?
Sounds cool to me. I will say that my one thing that I've been obsessing over is Extreme Sweets.
Yeah.
Sugar Rush, Extreme Sweets. I freaking obsess with the show on Netflix. And it's just one of those baking shows and it's a competition thing or whatever. So if you love these kind of things, yeah. I really enjoy this one. And my staff pick, I guess Tyson is fighting a great white next week on Shark Week. And it's called Tyson versus Jaws. Rumble on the Reef. I'm not sure if they're going to let him punch the shark or if any of that kind of stuff, but he said that he needed to get into better shape for his fight coming up with Roy Jones. So he thought, what better way than to fight a shark?
Fight a dangerous fish.
But it's, anyway.
Yabba Jaw, I bet I could beat him up.
But anyway, it's Tyson versus Jaws, Rumble on the Reef, August 9th on Discovery Channel.
Cool. And Jeff, is that cool if next week we expand it?
Yeah, we used to do it? My staff pick for this week is that American Pickle movie, mm-hmm. starring starring Seth Rogen and as his own grandson and grandfather who gets pickled and like Rip Van Winkle for 100 years.
Ah, cool.
It's on HBO Max on the August 6th.
Do you think it'll be enjoyable for someone who doesn't like Seth Rogen?
How do you not like Seth Rogen?
I just don't. I don't like him.
What?
Well, I don't hate him. I like some of the things he's in. I don't. I guess my point is, I don't seek out Seth Rogen projects.
It looks good though. I saw the previews. It looks like a different kind of movie. It's pretty funny.
And you said you watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. That's back.
Yeah. Well, this is the final season. I just wanted to point out to people that in the early seasons of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Bill Paxton was the main bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
And since he passed, this final season, they have his son playing his character from they like went back in time.
Is he a demon?
No, but he looks just like him, and he's like in the. I'm like watching the show. I'm like, where did they get this guy that looks so much like Bill Paxton?
Yeah.
Then it turned out it's his son.
He looks more like his dad than Gandolfini's son looks like his dad. Gandolfini's looks like
he has the teeth and the mouth, and everything just like Paxton.
Don't you think Gandolfini's kid looks like he was made in a Gandolfini factory, but he was a reject and threw out in the dumpster? Anyway, so this week I didn't really watch a lot of anything new. The other night I went into a Don Rickles rabbit hole. I watched him do the 1984 inaugural ball, insulting the President Reagan and George Shultz and George Bush. It was fantastic. Excuse me. And a bunch of his Tonight Show appearances. All these things happened because I listened to podcasts. I was listening to last week's Talking Sopranos. Michael Imperioli brings up they're talking about.
Watch anything you hear on Days in the Valley or whatever.
Yeah, don't do that. No, that's a good idea. First of all, you go to jail if anybody finds it on your computer. But anyway, some reason they're talking about James Dean and Michael Imperioli loves James Dean, and Stephen Sherrip is like, he wasn't a good act. Anyway, a terrible impression. So they're talking about him, and then Imperioli brought up impersonations that were done by Frank Gorshin. And if you don't know who that was on Batman. He was the Riddler. He was also on Star Trek. He played the guy with black and white face. But he was a comedian and an impressionist. And back then, when you were an impressionist, you had to know how to sing. You had to know how to tell jokes. You had to have an act. Now you don't need that, obviously. But back then they did. And he mentioned that he could do a physical impersonation of James Dean. And he did it perfectly. And then I Googled it and I went to YouTube to watch it. And there's a show called The Copycats, which I'd never, ever, ever heard of in my life. Have either of you ever heard of that show?
I tried to watch a couple of them when you mentioned it, but I got through like 5 minutes and I was like, I'm not sitting through this.
No, you really have to appreciate. Because
it was like every impressionist of the day, like Fred Travolina. Yeah.
Well, he was young. That was very, very young Fred Travolina, right?
Yeah.
Rich Little. Mm-hmm.
Frank Gorshin.
And I can't remember his name, and I don't want to say the black guy. So I'm going to Google his name real quick because he was amazing. This is the first video I saw when I went to YouTube and I typed in the copycats. It popped up with this video of a guy doing Archie Bunker and Ralph Cramden. And right. An African American. And I was like, holy shit, this guy, his name is George Kirby. This guy was super talented. And like Jeff says, I mean, you really have to have patience to watch this show because it's not rapid fire comedy. Everything's subtle. There's performances, there's songs. You have Marilyn Michaels, if you know who that is. She could do vocal impersonations of anyone. And she does she does Barbara Streisand. She did everybody from this time. But the thing that struck me, and then I'll shut up about it, was this show was on a network television show in 1972. So it's sort of post end of Laugh-In era and pre Saturday Night Live. And it is super subversive. Now, could you imagine a network show in 1972 having an African-American guy doing an Archie Bunker impression on TV? To me, I think that's remarkable. And so the show, to me, feels like it's ahead of its time. And they just did a good job lampooning. But Jeff is right. I mean, they do. It is hard to digest the show. But I highly recommend you watch it's spelled K-O-P-Y-K-A-T-S. There's a great video with the real Tony Curtis playing Dracula. And then they're doing all the people of the time. So if you like old Hollywood and you don't need a punchline every 2 seconds, give it a shot if you like that sort of thing. And my staff pick is another old movie, but I think we're living in that time, or certainly headed that fucking way. Idiocracy, which is the extended version, is on HBO all month. So I definitely think it's predictable.
What's extra in the extended version?
I don't know. I got to watch it.
Great movie.
Yeah, it's all overall a great film, and I look forward to watching it. And other than that, that's just I listen to a lot of podcasts.
So. Go away, Baton.
Yeah, go away, Baton. You broke my house. Your shit's all fucked up. And there's that talk again. Oh, wait, he didn't say
ridiculous. You think that you better mix that word? You said the R word and the F word.
Yeah, in this podcast. I'm quoting movies.
I know that.
I'm not going to worry about it. I didn't call anybody that, and I'm quoting things. I'm not saying them, and that's my philosophy. If you're saying something,
I'm joking, Tim. My God,
I'm going to quote Richard Pryor live on Sunset Strip.
No, you're not. No, no, you're not doing that. Police don't shoot cars; they shoot people. All right, guys, this has been a fun show. I like talking about 1978. I hope you liked it as much as we did. Please like and review our podcast wherever you listen to it. Share it with your friends, please. Post it on Facebook, post it on social media, or, you know, write it down in a letter and mail it to somebody.
I'll be on the Wilder Ride next week, by the way. If you're going to listen to that, I just assume that they hated me and they deleted my episode, but they're 2 weeks behind. So it's next week.
Yeah, I know. You're like me. What did I do wrong? Oh, they fucking hate me. Oh, no, we're just not running it yet because we're behind. Oh, no, I feel dumb. I hate you. Yeah, but I have that tendency too. You guys have anything else you want to add before we wrap up?
Any dog stuff?
Yeah. So,
yeah, same, you know, just donate foster, barkfielddogrescue.org, or please adopt from your local shelter. They're filling up fast. Anything that you can do would be amazing right now. So, yeah, that's it. Adopt, don't shop. Blah, blah, blah.
Guys, if you notice your dog doesn't want to eat and is lethargic and just moping around and won't get up to go to the bathroom or anything, don't ignore it. We just thought it was general age, and then it got worse and worse and worse, and we made a decision. We got to take her to the vet right away. We got her to the vet. Her heartbeat was 30 beats per minute. Now, that's not good for a dog or anyone or anything that's alive. And they treated her. They treated her with an IV. And she's the sweetest thing. She's an older dog. We just thought, oh, it's that time. But it's not that time, because they discovered that she had something called Addison's disease. And that is involving your adrenal glands. And within 3 days, she's back to herself. She's eating. She's running. She asks me to take her for walks, which she didn't do before. Little Rizzo, by the way. And she's named after, since it's 1978, she's named after Rizzo from Greece. That's, and my wife named her after that. She's an adorable dog, wonderful pet. And we were so sad, and then now we're so happy because she's energetic and everything. So pay attention to your
pictures you posted.
What's that?
She looked pretty skinny in those pictures that you posted.
You mean from last week?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, she's a little dog, but she, like I said, she hadn't gone for walks in a couple of months, and now she's like begging to go. So it's great. And
no, I'm so happy for you that the treatment's working.
Yeah, I mean, you love your pets, man. You love them. You got to take care of them, you know. Take care of them as best you can. Even when they get older, you know, you want them around. You got to pay attention. Steph knows for sure.
So. I've got three oldies right now, and they require more care when they're old than they ever did. And it's just one of those things that you got to keep in mind when you get an animal, is that just like you, they're going to get old. They're going to require more care. The only thing is that you are at least able to make the decision to let them go see the sweet Jesus. They don't have to wait around. You can actually pull that plug for them.
Right, so we do that for our dogs, but we stick our elders in the, go in here and in this COVID thing. See your sorry ass. Make sure you have your will updated. And then we decided to send them to various different homes throughout the state. And after that, once we killed 30, 40,000 of them, we've been doing a great job in New York.
I'm hoping to get banished to Hard Labor Creek at some point.
What's that? Oh, shit. Yeah, no. All right, guys, this has been fun. We'll talk to you next week. And until that time, please remember to keep it canon.